Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club December Edition, Dana's Choice, the last episode of the year, celebrity memoir, and all the other books we read this month ranking, not even month and year, sorry, all the other books we read this month and all the books we read this year. We've got a big episode for you guys today. We read Britney Spears' memoir, The Woman in Me, this month, but this is also our end of year episode where we rank our top three Redheads books of the year and our top three overall books of the year. So this episode is what it all comes down to. What was the best book of the year, Redheads and non-Redheads? I can't tell you how much joy it brings me to finally get these answers. But before we do all of that, I've got to check in with my girly swirly Redhead hosts. Hi, ladies. How you doing?
Hey, Jack.
Oh, wow. I had like a lot of enthusiasm and then I got like really nothing.
Darn good, well, Jack.
Usually you call on someone individually.
Usually I do the general call. You guys like give me some hype and then I seek you out individually. But Snitch, let's start with you because you're so looking to be called on. How are you?
I'm good. Just really excited that the holidays are coming up because I'm done.
You're done.
I'm D-O-N-E, done.
Okay, well, so you're the holiday cheermeister is what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, great. Well, we're excited to have you here with that done energy. Dana, your book, your month, how are you?
I'm great. My sister got married this weekend.
Oh, my God. So low key. Did she elope? Low key.
Jackie, did you not know that?
Like, I knew she was engaged and getting married, I guess technically around Thanksgiving, but the way you just said it, like, it sounded like,
yeah,
she
it came out of nowhere. I also don't post anything, so no one gets any like little
alert. I didn't see it. I didn't see a thing. That's
no, I asked Dana for a single, I was like, can I see what you wore, can I see any semblance of understanding that you actually were present? She's like, I think I have one pic.
I was not on my phone the entire day. It was crazy. Like, I don't have one thing in my camera roll.
You didn't even post to Snapchat?
I think I did, like, one selfie. Like, it was crazy how uninvolved I was with taking pictures. So I hope the photographer was good. But he was way better than mine, as Jackie and Rick can remember not so fondly. So I think we're in better hands. That was a great, great fun wedding. Obviously talked about Snitch again because, like, that's her age demographic. Lindsay Brandis was there.
No, okay. Remember the last time we were on the podcast talking, yes, about Mandy and Jackie? You were like, what are we doing?
Dana doesn't realize this podcast is like a very public podcast. You're like outing all these private citizens as if we're just like having a gab.
No.
We're not just catching up on FaceTime in this.
Wait, and also I was at an engagement party and someone came up to me and was like, I heard you talk about me like on your podcast. And I was like, wait, literally, what are you talking about? And then she like said like Redheads, and then I was like, Dana. And then I was like, oh my God, like the fact that you heard that, like that's insane. But anyway, she was with the same crew that she had been talking about in that episode.
Got it. Be honest, Snitch, did you say I don't have a podcast and then forgot about Redheads? Is that what happened?
I didn't say I don't have a podcast. I think it took me a minute to think about like what podcast she was talking about.
You have a podcast, Snitch, and it's Redheads, and you got to be a little more Redheads strong.
A little more loyal to your Redheads girlies.
Okay.
Agreed. You're one of us, whether you like it or not.
Agreed. She's not going anywhere.
No, okay, she ain't. But yeah, it was a great weekend. That's my big update. Want to hear about all of you, Snitches.
Mazel tov to your sister.
Mazel tov.
Bex, how are you? How's married life month three going?
So great. Just hit my 3-month mark of being Mrs. Mintz, even though it's still TBD whether or not I'll formally become Mrs. Mintz. It's just like
a lot of work.
I think you're Rebecca Rittenberg, Becky Mintz.
Ooh, she's Becky Mintz.
Not Becky Rittenberg, Rebecca Mintz.
Technically, yes, by the way. Like, I understand what you're saying because it's like colloquial, official. Mm-hmm. But I like Becky Mintz.
But I think you're saying it because of the length of each name. Like, Rebecca is longer and Rittenberg is longer.
No.
And then Becky is shorter and Mintz
is shorter.
Becky
Mintz rolls off the tongue in such a better way.
They're really two nice. Different people. You could be like Hannah Montana, Miley Stewart, Rebecca Rittenberg, Becky Mintz.
1,000%.
Yeah.
But I was saying, I feel like in our last podcast episode, I was like, okay, like, wedding done, honeymoon done. I no longer have anything interesting to contribute. Like, I'm just going to let this lifetime wash over me.
It's fine. I felt that way for years.
No, you are always doing something like splashy. I did go to a Knicks game recently, ladies, and I literally forced any of the cameramen to put me on the Jumbotron. Like, I swear to God, I was slinging back deals. And I got a lot of outreach from no one I actually knew, but the redheads, like, were reaching out via DM being like, saw you on the Jumbotron. I was like, thanks, ladies.
Oh, good. It worked.
It worked.
Oh, I thought you meant the redhead's Instagram account. I was like, Jackie, was that you?
Dead. No, redhead's DMs. Loyal fans.
Love.
So that
love.
Was a definite highlight for me, ladies. Thanks to the redhead community for always supporting a Knicks fan.
Well, the redheads community is always supporting the redheads, always supporting our wonderful podcast, and we hope to do you justice in this episode with this book. I'm actually very excited. Our first...
Wait, Jax. Someone had a birthday.
Oh my God, I did.
Hey, girl.
What a month. My month has been great. My birthday was lovely. I had a birthday chili that I made myself, and it was a really nice night, and it's just been a really nice month as we head into the holidays. I love this time of year, and I've just been enjoying.
Love.
That's all for me. Working, mothering, enjoying.
Totally. It's beautiful.
So now we can get into this month's book. We read The Woman in Me by Britney Spears, A Dana's Choice, our first celebrity memoir, because Maya Angelou is a celebrity, but not, you know, like Britney. And of course we read Claudia's, but that wasn't an official Redheads book. That was, you know,
a bonus.
A larger corporate TNN endeavor. So let's get into the book. Dana, you are responsible for the recap. What was this book about?
This memoir is about Britney Spears, who really needs no introduction, but I'll give a brief one anyway. Britney Spears, the princess of pop, is a singer who really revived teen pop during the late 1990s and has sold over 150 million records. The memoir that we read chronicles her entire life to date, from her upbringing in Mississippi, to her early brushes with fame on the Mickey Mouse Club in Star Search, to her mall tour promotions, to her several rocky relationships, most notably with Justin Timberlake, to her short-lived marriage with Kevin Federline, and nasty public divorce and custody battle over their two children, to her grueling Vegas residency, and finally to the hottest topic in the news over the past few years, Britney's involuntary conservatorship. The hashtag Free Britney movement took the world by storm, where her loyal fans caught on to something being amiss in Britney's world, and the traction gained by their efforts finally resulted in the termination of the conservatorship in November 2021 after 13 years. We'll go into all of that in more detail, but in short, Britney has lived a crazy life in the spotlight, and her songs are fucking legendary.
They are. Thank you, Dana. That was perfect and succinct. And now I want to know what everyone thought of the book. Dana, we will start with you.
Okay, I will just start with like a quick homage to Britney Spears, because she completely revolutionized my relationship with music. Like, even more than reading books, listening to music is truly my number one hobby and interest, and it all started with Britney Spears. Like, I can remember so vividly playing that Baby One More Time CD-ROM with like her legs crossed underneath her in the skirt and memorizing the lyrics that came in the album insert, which like
was that your first foray into music memorization?
That's literally what I wrote in my notes. Wow. This was my first foray into music appreciation and memorizing lyrics, which is like my whole identity, and I can attribute it all to Britney Spears. I didn't even like necessarily keep up with her in the later years. Like, I wasn't the same obsession I would describe as like an Amy Schumer or even a Drake, but she was just like so influential in my early music experience, and for that I'm eternally grateful. With all of that being said, the writing in this book was absolute trash. I could not believe it. Like, Britney has one of the juiciest stories of all time, in my opinion, and the fact that they couldn't get a better editor, a better ghostwriter to do it more justice is wild to me. One of my biggest complaints was how often they like juxtaposed themes. Like, I feel like Britney was always like, I wanted to be alone, but I wanted to be famous. I loved her, but I hated her.
And also like, bringing it back to like the woman in me, like they did try and like shove a couple themes in there, especially about I like fame, but I also like hiding.
Yes, and that bothered me because instead of like furthering some point that they could have maybe achieved about her like complexity and how layered she is, it felt rushed, it felt surface, it felt lazy, and like, I don't know, maybe she didn't even have a ghostwriter because the chaotic voice of the memoir, I feel like, kind of is mimicking her outward presentation on like social media these days. So there was one line in the memoir where Britney was like, she said, quote, like, I'm just stupid, but I'm not manipulative, but I'm just dumb. And that like kind of broke my heart because that is how I felt reading it. I'm like, this is a really nice girl who's so talented. She's just not the smartest of the bunch. And I wish they had a better ghostwriter to write her story.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you that from what I understand, the way the book was written, because if you read her Instagram captions, like, this is not an author. And I think compared to her Instagram captions, this book is written like Shakespeare. From what I understand, Britney did a series of like therapy sessions with, you know, a counselor, and she spoke her life story while a ghostwriter put it all together. So she, which I think winds up happening for a lot of people, they speak their story and then a person puts it together. But this was like done via like counseling and therapy, and then the author took it. I actually think that maybe it would have been better served as a biography, not an autobiography, because they could be like, Britney said this quote, and then add color to it, as opposed to pretending the whole thing is a quote, because on the one hand, it's too well written for Britney, and on the other hand, it's not well written enough to be a strong memoir.
Well said.
I will say personally, the writing didn't bother me at all. I've seen a lot of comments about people not liking the writing, but I was fine with it. I like how quickly it moved. I like that it took a stab at reflecting her personal voice while it was clear that it was an elevation of her voice. But I like when a celebrity memoir, even if it's all over the place, like Paris Hilton's was too, it's a reflection of their internal workings of their mind. I actually think for as chaotic as Britney can be, the book was very organized. So I didn't mind the writing. Maybe because I didn't have that many days to read it, because Iron Flame took me forever to read, I really appreciated that it went by so quickly. Like, I read in a matter of hours over the span of 2 days, and I appreciated my time with it. But that's also like what I want from a celebrity memoir. On the one hand, my gripe with it was that I felt that it was too surface level. I don't feel like I fully understood why she was put into a conservatorship, why her and Kevin Federline didn't work out, why she couldn't have custody of her children. I still don't feel like I know those reasons, and it leaves me with kind of more questions than when I first started. But it did give me a pretty good overview of Britney's life, how unfairly she was treated, and why she deserves her freedom above all else. So for those reasons, I enjoyed it. It's hard to, as a book club book, just because like we're going to have to pick it apart, and I don't think it can withstand that necessarily. But if it wasn't a book club book, I would have been like, oh my God, loved it. You should read it. Great, you know, overview of Britney and justice for Britney, you know?
That's so such well a good said. Point.
I totally agree.
About like us having to pick it apart, because that's simply what this
what
group
we do.
Does.
Right.
But I really, really resonate with the fact about how surface it was. And I was really hoping to better understand Britney. And I just perhaps don't think that she is like ready or even capable of uncovering a layer deeper, which is a testament to, I think, how broken she is. I think I agree with you, Jackie. Like, I would have enjoyed my time with the book if it weren't a Redheads novel that we were, or book that we were debriefing. I just had like so many thoughts during it that I was like, why don't you have a better PR team? Why didn't you have better guidance when you were so young? Like, I was like, wanting to like scream at the top of my lungs, but she really wasn't unpacking anything. So I was like, maybe you did, and I simply like don't know who to believe anymore. So like that was like my hard takeaway, was like, I feel like she went through so much, and I so extend my deepest heart to everything she went through. But I also like feel like there's a little bit more to the story, and I'm like, am I second guessing like this victim, Brittany? Like, am I a huge asshole? I just couldn't help it. I was like, this seems incomplete and crazy unfinished. How the hell did you go to rehab because you loved energy supplements that you could buy at CVS? Like, what? There's got to be more to it. So yeah, that was just like a weird push and pull that I had to grapple with during my time with it.
I agree. It made me feel like there was more to the story, and it made me feel like maybe if I had only been older when all this stuff was unraveling with her, I would know what she was talking about. But it seemed like you had to have like a pretty good understanding of what everyone else says about her in order to know this book. But I'm like, no, what were they saying about you that they put you away?
100%. Mm-hmm.
Satchel, what did you think?
So, I mean, I don't know if everyone knows this, but like growing up, I was the biggest Britney Spears stan. They don't know.
Explain to what degree?
Like to the degree where I had a ginormous poster of her in my room. I would kiss it every night before I went to bed.
Love. You had a Britney Spears impersonator. I had a Britney Spears
impersonator at like my 6th birthday. Mm-hmm. Like I loved her so much. I don't know when it stopped. I really don't, because also even like in reading so much of this, there were so many like cultural Britney moments that I do not remember. And albeit I was very young, so I don't know like even why I was obsessed with her. Like I didn't really like know anything, but so I always loved her. And then this book it was fine. I really couldn't get past the writing. Like I feel like this is the way that Dana feels when she reads like my book recommendations. Like it was making me go nuts because all of it felt so like tangential. She'd be like, I got to this party and then I went to the bathroom, and then it was like, but I ran into this person, and it was like, it just like there were so many details that were completely unnecessary. And honestly, I've been trying to, I highlighted a part because I knew I was thinking this, but my Kindle thing isn't working. But so that really bothered me. I think also there were so many things that like were just like left unfinished, like whatever happened with like her brother Brian, because they were so close. And then it's like, did like she kept saying that like her relationship with Jamie Lynn was like shit, and like she didn't help her, but like they were close. Like what, do you know what I mean? Like that was just like, where's, what happened there? So, listen, I feel bad for her. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation. Just in terms of, like, from a book perspective, I do wish it was more of, like, a story of Britney's life. Like, it was a biography and not an autobiography. Because, like, I don't think she needs to be writing a book. She can help write a book about her life.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I also think, you know, all of her money was kind of stolen from her. She's mm-hmm. now independent. I don't think she wants to tour or work or do an album. As she said, like, that's all on pause. And I think she's got big bills, and she probably got a lot of money to write this book. So why not sit and tell my story? And if you guys want to write it how you want to write it, you'll notice she did no press for the book. They did not have her on media tours. They just, like, took excerpts from the book and gave it to publications, and it got a lot of buzz that way. I mean, that's why I'm reading it. When I first heard she was writing a book, I was like, I don't want to read it. I want Brittany to take her time. Like, I don't need to hear the story right now. But all of the buzz that they garnered for the book, like, made me want to read it. So I think she definitely had her reasons for writing the book. I think it, on a lot of ways, it was better and more well done than I expected. And then in other ways, when measuring it against, like, you know, this is a Simon Schuster celebrity memoir, number one New York Times bestselling book of the year, it falls short.
Is it?
Yeah, it's been New York Times bestseller for weeks. I thought, like, she, like, broke some records for pre-orders. Yeah, I need to see what the number one book of the year is. But, like, this is one of the biggest books of the year.
Wow. What about The Camper and the Counselor?
Oh, The Camper and the Counselor was, biggest children's book of the year, for no doubt. Sure.
It was neck and neck.
I actually listened to the book, you guys, first.
And did she do the audiobook?
No, Michelle Williams did, which is also a big thing, but people were loving it. Bex, actually, I think so many people listened to the audiobook. Please share your experience.
I absolutely loved it. Brittany did the opener, and even, you guys, in the opener, she didn't sound great, you know? Like, she has this, like, voice that's so different than the voice that I remember from my childhood. So that was, I'm glad she had her voice in some way during this opener. But Michelle Williams was phenomenal. And honestly, I think that she adapted her voice to sound like the Britney of yore. And she like had this like southern twang. And I thought it was helpful because you could like feel the emotion from time to time. So I really liked listening to it. I thought it was the perfect thing to listen to.
I wish I listened to it because I feel like so much of what we were reading was like the inner workings of someone's brain. And so it was like hard to kind of like read it like that. But if it's just like someone talking, like you don't notice how many they say, how many times they say the word like or something like that. Whereas when it's on like a page.
No, it really sounded like Britney was telling me her story because Michelle like adapted her voice. So I thought it was the perfect opportunity to do an audiobook moment.
Smart.
Even though on its face, it's like the person who wrote the book isn't doing the audiobook. I'm sure the publishing team like struggled with that. And I think the Michelle Williams thing wound up being better than anything else and definitely better than expected. But I feel like that was kind of a clusterfuck. Like, who is going to read the audiobook and how is it going to be on the one hand, someone that you know, but not the author. But on the other hand, if we just have like a voice actor, that's weird too.
Yeah. Totally. What I will say, I did really enjoy like the pop culture tidbits. So like when she was doing like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and she was like, and there were other actors there, their names were Ryan Gosling, Christina Aguilera, mm-hmm. like Natalie Portman or whatever. Like I thought that was sick.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some good moments.
Totally.
Okay, well, let's get into the DBQs about the book and we'll talk more about the book's contents. First up, discuss the significance of the title, The Woman in Me. So The Woman in Me is a lyric from I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. I'm going to sing it because I can't get it out of my head. I'm just trying to find the woman in me. Every time I hear the title and then I'm like, oh, what's the lyric? And then I have that song in my head all day.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a perfect title.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think especially because she emphasized so regularly throughout the book getting her womanhood back. So I
think
feel
they
like,
did that because it was the title. That's how I felt.
Oh, you don't think she was actually trying to get her womanhood back?
No, I do. But I think also a couple times they stopped to be like, and where was the woman in me? And here also, is the woman in me. Like,
and like in, yeah. like emphasis on in, like the woman was trapped inside of her because she wasn't allowed out. So like I thought that was a nice play on words.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I took it more as she kept talking about how she like would revert back to being a child or she would like act her children's age or how she was like super like empathetic to other people that I thought it was kind of a play on that. It's like I always acted like a child, but there was like a woman in me the whole time.
That's very nice good, Snitch.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. Did you guys think the same thing? There were so many parallels with Claudia in this book. If you guys recall her poem that she wrote that was the Crossroads song, I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman, in class that she talks about in her special.
Yes, that one song for sure. And what more okay. than that?
Yeah, like, are you saying we have her conservatorship? Okay.
Claudia's in a conservatorship.
I feel like Britney and Claudia have like a lot of the same friends, like Paris Hilton, Kate Hudson. Like yeah. they like are kind of in the same world okay. and the lyrics of it drove it home for me.
No, it was funny for like how much she did mention Cade.
Yeah.
Yes, Cade Hudson is Britney's agent, friend. He's mentioned a lot of times in the book, very flatteringly.
Yeah,
and
very flatteringly.
He is a friend of Claudia's. So yeah. That was funny. Okay, so are you saying Claudia is the new Britney Spears?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, okay, great. I think that's fair. That feels right.
that feels right.
Okay, we learn a bit about Britney's childhood. And even though in memoirs, like, it's always, like, the part I'm just least looking forward to. It really does set the groundwork. Like, how you are as a child and how you are as a person, especially before you get famous. Like, really, you then see it mirrored in your fame. So we do need to understand what she was like growing up in order to understand, like, the woman in her.
Yeah.
One of the first bold statements she makes is that she was raised not to disobey her parents. Discuss the significance of this statement.
Oh my God. I cannot imagine a more telling observation in a story. She was so obedient through and through. And I think it was just so ingrained in her that she never even realized that she had a voice enough to fight back to anything that was happening to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. The image of her as like this well-mannered, polite Southern girl really resonated because that is genuinely who she was. And so much of the reason she didn't push back on the industry and the media machine trying to make her into something. Like, she says herself how bad she was at being famous and playing the game. And I think a lot of that were the roots of her just growing up, like, super polite, calling everybody ma'am and sir.
Yeah, I resonated with that, that she's not good at playing the game. Like, I started to understand her more. Like, you need to be an animal to be in this business. You need to, like, question everything everyone says. You need to say one thing, you have to be you have to have multiple faces, eyes in the back of your head. And she is just like a sweet, naive girl, not cut out for this industry. And I think you see how damaging that is in what wound up happening to her and how people just totally took advantage of her. Next question. Discuss music as an escape for Britney. So, of course, it's an escape of her life in Louisiana, like, and it became, you know, her profession and her career, and it took her out of the world that she was not happy in. But then eventually when she was in that world, that her new world, and she was not happy in that, like, she was able to lose herself in the studio. When she finally gets her freedom, she just wants to be able to listen to music all around her house. So it's like a creative outlet, but it was also at one point the thing that gave her freedom.
Yeah. And I found it so sad when she was talking about how stifled she was on the Vegas, I think, circus tour, mm-hmm. where they would not let her even switch up a song. It was so regimented. And she's like, part of being an artist is having the freedom to do creativity and change things the way you want. And that, I think, like, maybe, I hope not permanently, destroyed her creative flair. Like, she couldn't get back into it because it was so formulaic. And I almost think her explosion on social media right now, or like years and years of repression just coming to light because she was not allowed to play.
I completely agree. And now when I look at her social media, it makes more sense to me. Like, she just wants to dance. She wants to try new dance moves. She wants to listen to music. She wants to show her body in the way that she wants. She wants to look the way that she wants. And like, it's still an act of rebellion, and it starts to make more sense because I think a lot of people would agree that Britney's social media is not the most cohesive. And but also because we're so used to everyone being so, playing it so safe and so worried about their image, and she's quite the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Pent up.
Yeah. It also feels like that, and I started to understand why she shaved her head. It's like everyone wants her to, like, be beautiful, and it's like, well, fuck you all, so let me do the last thing you want me to do.
Yeah. No, I honestly, I totally got it.
I got, like, it. And that I never wondered really why she shaved her head. I think I just chalked it up to, like, something I couldn't understand. But, like, the way she explained it, I was like, yeah, shave your head.
I felt like time was the most authentic, that, like, I felt like I really, really was understanding Britney. There were other moments in the book where she would rationalize a behavior that she had, and I would be like, okay, like, I guess I don't really have reason to not believe you, but, like, it sounds a little far-fetched. But, like, her children and their removal from her life resulting in behaviors like shaving her head, I was like, that lands.
At its core, I think this book is a book about her kids, really. Like, everything mm-hmm. she did was to protect her kids. Every time she went quote-unquote crazy, it was because she was being taken away from her kids. Like, this was a book, honestly, about how Britney Spears's motherhood came first above anything else.
I know, but that makes it even sadder because, and she didn't give it from a, what are the facts of her relationship with her children? I don't think she has one today. I think one of her sons is 18 and he chooses not to speak to her. It's like she...
So I was going to ask that. Like, from what I know...
They're not about her.
Yeah.
Which is horrible. And like, what she sacrificed so much for them. But like, they love their father. I mean, they grew up with him and he... But like, how does Kevin Federline have the power to take away Britney's children when like, he is a loser, do nothing, mm-hmm. works never, fake rapper. And like, she is the biggest star in the world. Like, and even when they were together, people felt that way about him. So like, how was he able to do that to her? And it makes you question like, well, is there more... What did she do that... How can you ever take children away from their mother?
Yeah.
The thing, they say that her relationship has deteriorated with her sons post-conservatorship. So I agree. Like, there's a lot of plot holes here on what went down. It's just so sad. Like, when she was talking about how napping with her boys was the only thing in the world that she wanted to do. And like, that can't even be restored now.
Yeah. Or that she really entered into the conservatorship so she could take a nap with her boys. Cause that was the only way if she like to get what she wanted was to play by their rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Like, it made me see, like, as a seeing her as a mother and like how many decisions that she made that were not in her best interest, but were in the best interest of like her relationship with her sons. Like it colored everything. But like,
yeah,
the fact that she would go over to Kevin's house like all the time to try and see her boys and she wasn't able to. And so they pull over on the side of the road to like collect herself and the paparazzi pull over with her. It's like, how do you not have better people around you who aren't going to stop on the side of the road? Like that sort of incompetence from whoever her friend was like is unacceptable. How does that happen? Like when she's the biggest star in the world, like you don't pull over on the side of the road to figure out what to do next. Like go home. Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah. With paparazzi chasing, like, I don't understand how any person, not even a regular person, pulls over to the side of the road.
No, that was, like, one of my biggest issues with this book. I was like, why was she so misguided at every turn? It was insane to me. Like, when you are becoming the biggest star and, like, have the biggest single and, like, you're this, like, isn't there, like, shouldn't your agent or someone equip you with guidance? Like, you can't expect everybody to know offhand how to approach this. But, like, it was insane to me.
I was like, I was equally confused how she was also always surrounded by bimbos. People who didn't seem to know how to best treat Britney, and yet she had the biggest team.
Like,
in
all
the world.
Of those interviews with Diane Sawyer, when, like, she was, like, caught off guard, I was like, no one asked for, like, a pre-screening of questions. No one gave you topics that were off limits. Like, she, I felt like, was caught off guard so many times in the public eye. I was like, how was this not confronted sooner?
Yeah, it started to feel like at a certain point her team benefited from her instability, especially in the conservatorship, because they were able to clamp That's down true. More. But in the beginning, she's the biggest star in the world. Like, why do you not have, like, systems and teams in place that seem legitimate? Like, it was so rinky dink. Yes. And she's a global superstar. Like, how does she not have security driving her, who would never stop on the side? Like, I just keep using that example because it's like that was the height of her career, and like there was no apparatus seized in place to protect her.
I completely agree.
But also, I thought the character of Felicia was interesting because she was, like, the only main constant.
She seemed competent,
And so it's, like, where did she go?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brittany, like, referenced her kind of floating in and out.
Yeah. But I feel like that wasn't by choice. Like, I just feel like, I don't know.
She was actually a good example of kind of casting doubt on Brittany's, like, validity, because there was a line of, my dad told me Felicia didn't want to see me, but I later learned she never said that. It's like, couldn't that have been resolved quicker by asking Felicia yourself? Like, I know your phones were tapped and all that, but...
The dad told Felicia Brittany didn't want to see her.
Yeah. Right. But, like, if Brittany was missing Felicia and hadn't seen her in a while, and the reason Felicia was staying away was because her dad told her, it felt like there was better shortcuts to revamping her relationship with her. Everything was, like, just a little confusing of how that could have possibly happened.
Yeah, I do agree. Next, Britney refers to herself and Justin Timberlake as magnets. What drew them together so fiercely?
By the way, do I live under a rock? I did not know about the abortion.
No, that's new information.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to say you didn't know they dated. I was like, for sure.
Me too.
Rock. Go back to your rock cave, woman.
I think, honestly, it made so much sense. They were on the same path, like, in different ways. And they knew each other when they were, like, kids. And, like, they kept crossing each other, and they're both on the up and up at the same time, and they're both hot, so, like, made sense.
Yeah, what surprised me more was how deep and loving their relationship was. Like, I think sometimes two people, oh yeah, we're both famous, this is fun, you're cute, I'm cute, like, let's get together, but, like, they were living together. She loved him so much. I think for that time that they were together, like, he really loved her, except for all the times he was cheating on her, but he's just a cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. I was surprised at the depth of their relationship, how she talked about, like, losing his family was, like, losing her primary family. I kind of thought they were just, like, oh, fun teeny boppers, but, like, she was so invested. I didn't know that, and I did get that from the book.
I just hope it was true. Is that terrible?
I know, I was thinking that.
I was, like, I wonder if she's, like, blowing this up, and he would, like, look back on their relationship and be, like, I don't remember it that way.
Well, that might be the case on his end, but from hers, I do think it's true that she felt that way, you know? Even if it wasn't as reciprocated, she was in love with him, and I appreciate that she was so open and vulnerable about it, because, like, they have bad blood. It could have been easy for her to take a revisionist view on how she thought about him, but she, like, recalled how genuinely she was in love with him.
And she even was defending him where she could.
Yeah. But I don't think it would have benefited her to take a revisionist view, because of the subsequent men she dated, they were such trash that Justin was literally like the creme de la creme. Like, he is like this moment of like, see, look at me. Like, I was a huge star. Everyone loved me. And so that is the only reason why I wonder if she was blowing it out of, not blowing it out of proportion, but like
embellishing
for the sake of the story.
But I think it's important to keep in mind, as we said, and I believe this from the book, like, she is not manipulative. Like,
yeah,
there would be no reason other than that's how she feels. Like, and I think
maybe, even if it's not true.
Even if it's not true. And I think maybe she looks back on that relationship, and it seems to be the first thing in a chain of events that go very wrong for her. Yeah. And so when she looks back on her life, that relationship maybe seems much larger than it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a perpetual skeptic, ladies.
No, you know, I think that's, I didn't think of what you're saying, but I do think that it's, in any book, especially a memoir, like, it's important to have a degree of skepticism and
But you're so ask right questions. In that being the first domino to fall. Like, from there, it was really kind of downhill. And she admits so many times how she really should have taken a break. She had to get her mental health in check. Going on tour was not the right move after, like, a severe heartbreak.
Right.
And
So I think it was the first domino to fall. And so now when she looks back on it, that was kind of, like, the peak of things. So it just, with every passing memory, like, it just feels bigger and bigger and, like, and so amazing, when maybe the reality of it wasn't, but it felt like everything was going great up until then.
Yeah. Did we know ahead of this book that he cheated?
I didn't.
I wasn't surprised, like, to hear that.
But, like, that wasn't, like, a narrative ever.
No, I didn't know.
No, I guess the narrative was that she cheated on him.
She cheated.
And now we know she cheated once, a kiss with Wade, because he was cheating on her any chance he got.
Right.
Yeah. Next question. Brittany talks about the different ways in which the press spoke to her versus Justin. Discuss the role gender played in this.
Horrible.
Well, she was also at the peak. Like, I feel like when she was famous was, like, the peak of, like, when
mistreatment of young women.
Going in, like, talking about their boobs, like, the guys they were dating. Like, we've all seen those videos of, like, the compilations of, like, how, like, press has, like, asked, like, Taylor Swift about the people she's dating, Ariana Grande, like, the way that, like, when they, back in the day, like, that was, like, peak, and she was the most famous at the time. Like, she got the absolute worst of
but
it.
But even the way they talk to Taylor Swift at the worst, or Ariana Grande, like, now, when it's bad, is nothing compared to how it was bad.
No, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about, like, back then, like, in the beginning of their careers.
Right.
But, and when Britney was at the height of hers.
Yes.
There was overlap. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Britney got the brunt of it.
Totally.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
It was such a different time. Like, we're all woke now, feminism, et cetera. Back then, there were no rules.
But I also feel like it felt like Justin had very good teams or people around him that, like, were crafting this narrative. I don't think it was all him being, like, this nasty person. I think he's also, you know, not to say in his defense, but I've seen some arguments about Justin and just in general, not even about Britney stuff. It's like, he was also a young boy, experiencing fame for the first time. Like, he's gonna make mistakes, he's gonna be an asshole. That doesn't mean that's, like, that he's a terrible person, and that's who he is today. So I feel like he had people around him who, like, figured out how to spin everything, and it was also a testament to the fact that, like, he had very good people around him and she did not.
Yeah, she should have hired his people.
Yeah. There were,
oh, also someone explained to me how Kevin Federline was able to hire all of her people.
Right. Yeah. It's like, she pays your bills. Like, why does he have more power than her?
And why would the security guard or the manager, why would they want to manage him and not Britney?
That's what I'm saying. That's what's frustrating to a point that I don't understand it. Like, I see other times, I read Mariah Carey's memoir. She was going up against, like, big, powerful people. And, like, you can feel powerless in that. You can be powerless in that situation. But how is Britney Spears powerless to Kevin Federline?
No, the math ain't mathin'.
I know, it really did feel like everywhere we turn, it was like people who didn't want to deal with Britney or work with Britney, and, like, she couldn't get a meeting. I'm like, what? Do we know who we're talking about?
Jamie Lynn is getting better meetings than her.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was like when the dad went to do, like, some meeting with her, and she just, like, stayed at home.
Like, it's Britney.
Chilling on lithium.
It's Britney, bitch.
Also, by the way, like, Jamie had one success in her career.
Yeah.
And it was Zoe 101.
Right.
And that was maybe 3 or 4 years of her life. That's it. So, like, there were so many times, and there were years later when Britney was, like, Jamie was like had momentum or she was like excelling here, and I was happy for her. I'm like, literally, what are you talking about? It was only when she got the what was it called, Nickelodeon deal. That's it.
Yeah.
Who was the girl that was bullying Jamie Lynn that Brittany yelled at?
Oh, I know.
Alexa.
Oh. Yeah, the girl that like she's spoken out like a ton about like her mistreatment on Zoe 101, and she said the story of when Brittany yelled at her. It was the girl, not Quinn and not Victoria Justice.
Yeah, Alexa. One. I think she played Nicole.
Nicole.
She was only on one season. I think she had a really bad experience on the show for a number of reasons.
I thought she was on more seasons. She's like, oh, in my head, I thought she was like a staple on the show.
In the first season, she's like the best friend, and then she's never to be seen again.
She, no, she had a horrible, she was Dan Schneider'd, like she was everything.
She does a lot
she
of
had a horrible
speaking up and like advocacy now, talking about her experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was her too.
She would. Oh, she did Christy Carlson Romano's podcast.
Yeah. Yes. Also, was the was the press fair and appropriate to teenage Britney?
No.
No.
No. Period. Discuss the impact of Britney's abortion on her life, both during it and thereafter. So I think that this was a pivotal moment for her. Yes. I think even if Justin had broken up with her and painted her in this light and betrayed her and cheated on her, like it would have been different than having to go through all of that heartbreak accompanied with the grief of the abortion and the solitude of it and the loneliness and the magnitude and dealing with that at such a young age. I think the two things coupled together, like really, it was very regressive for her emotional development.
100%. I also couldn't believe the way she had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. A makeshift abortion with no medical attention. I completely agree, Jackie. Like, this was a really traumatic experience for her. She probably suffers from PTSD from it and never got the proper help. And it's like a huge contributor to all the other dominoes that fell.
And I think that coupled with the fact that when she became a mother, her children were taken from her is much more monumental in her psyche and her life than she might even, maybe someone has put this together. I'm sure plenty of people, but I think like those two things being like the two most traumatic things that have happened to her, like have absolutely crippled her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Severe abandonment.
Yeah. And then in addition to everything else in the isolation, imprisonment, forced drugs, all of that, like you, her being the way she is now less starts to be less of a mystery.
Yeah.
Oh, 1,000%. I don't have questions as to how she is now. Like, I get it.
I still kind of do.
It's fair.
In terms of just, like, her behavior and, like, I just wonder, like, what's really going on? Like, what has gone in her body beyond trauma? Like, what substances are floating around?
Why did Britney begin to feel like a child again after her breakup with Justin and other traumatic experiences? So that's kind of a theme of the book. Every time something like big happens in her life, everyone deals with trauma and grief differently, but for her, she like reverted into a childlike self. Why do you think that is?
They say that when trauma happens to you at a certain age, you like sometimes have a hard time like fully maturing past that age until you like properly deal with it. So I imagine that trauma, like her breakup with Justin or her abortion, reverts her like psyche back to previous trauma, which took place when she was young. So perhaps like that, like she felt like a child because like her mental state was reverted back to childhood when she had previous trauma.
Yeah, and she like talks to her about how she feels like a baby, she thinks like a baby, she talks like a baby, she like, it's like we were saying with just the regression, all of the trauma that has happened to her, a coping mechanism for her seems to, as Rit said, revert back to this childlike state when it's where there's protection and where she doesn't have to. Well, and also goes back to the woman in me. Like there is a adult woman trapped in her that sometimes cannot get out.
Yeah.
Also, don't they say that it's like you're stunted the like at the age that you get famous?
Right, but she got famous at 18, 19. It's not like 9.
Yeah, that's fair.
They say that about like, but so I think some people who got famous as like teen pop stars, they act like teens forever. But that's not exactly what's happened here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Next question. What attracted Britney to Kevin Federline?
We don't know.
Well, she says that he was holding her in the pool and right. that like protectiveness is what drew her to him because all she wanted to do is be held and feel protected. And he gave like a bomb to her that had been removed when Justin broke up with her that like she had been craving for so long that I think the first bout of attention she received where she felt good about herself again was going to end in her like going all the way.
Yeah. And also someone who maybe treated her like she was just normal. I think she craved a sense of normalcy because even when she had her like romp with Colin Farrell, like I don't think that's what she was looking for, was like a celebrity relationship. I think she really wanted a husband and kids and marriage and that life. And obviously we see Kevin Federline differently, but perhaps at first it was like, hey, this is someone who will give me a quote unquote normal life.
Yeah. And like at bare minimum, a distraction from my heartbreak of Justin.
I actually feel like she could have been way nastier to Kevin Federline. And I don't feel like she was said a mean thing at all. She even like kept talking about how she supported his career. I didn't even know he had rapping aspirations. Same.
And she said how she didn't like when in the media he was casted as such a bad person. She's like, that's the father of my children. It didn't make me happy when people finally were shitting on him.
Maybe yeah. that's genuinely how she feels, though. Like, above all else, he's the father of her children. And for that reason, she just has a perpetual soft spot, even though he's trash.
I think she's just a really nice person. Like, she didn't yeah. really speak ill of anyone. And, like, at this point, that man, for one reason or another, took her kids away from her. Her kids are now grown. And so I think, and she's writing her memoirs. I think if there was a time to speak her truth against Kevin, like, it would have been now. But it really seems as though she doesn't harbor many bad feelings towards him.
Yeah. And when she was saying how like Justin cheated on me with this girl who's actually really famous now and has a family, so I'm not going to say her name because I don't want her to feel bad, that like hurt my heart. Yeah, too.
No, but
that.
I need to know who she yeah. is. I need to
same,
know who she is.
Same, but I think she really feels that way. Like, she does not want to like ruin this woman's life or have her receive negative attention because of yeah. a blurb in her book.
And she didn't even give a clue. Like, people, you couldn't figure it out if you tried.
No.
Yeah, she just seems like very sweet. Like, I believe in her innocence.
Yeah. Me too.
She's
me
an too. Innocent soul.
I'm like, and she said, like, I'm not manipulative. Innocent. Like, I don't think she is.
Dana, I'm not that innocent. Oh, maybe she's trying to tell us something else. No.
Oops.
You know what else I didn't feel like they did a good job of in the book, what I get from other authors and artists? It's like the degree to which songwriting, like, played a role in her life. And, like, when she would be in the studio, like, was she just singing someone else's songs? Did she songwrite? Was that an outlet for her? Like, were these albums, did she have any role or was she just a mouthpiece?
I don't know if she's a songwriter.
But then she said she had her poems at her house that they threw in the garbage. So she wrote poems. If you write poems, you're a songwriter. I mean, you're a singer, you're a songwriter.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
My takeaway was like the industry just made her sing what they wrote and it was less of a creative decision on her end. But that doesn't mean she didn't have that in her or like writing songs or want to do her own. I think she was just like a slave to the man.
Slave for you.
Yeah.
I also just do not think that she put adequate emphasis on her amazing career before everything took a downturn.
I agree. You would think she was just kind of like this rinky-dink artist struggling, yeah. like who like, you know, had a few hits, not like the biggest thing in music, period.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. why are you like being self-deprecating and like there's such a lack of confidence in this writing and it's like you are like shy about your accomplishments and like we're so quick to emphasize like all of like the horrible things that came out of ups and downs in your life, but like you're fucking Britney Spears. Like, let's yeah. talk about that.
Yeah. I agree. Next question. Was the conservatorship warranted?
I, like, no, but also I feel like there's so much we don't know. Like, I don't know.
Based on what we read, no.
Right.
But based on just my knowledge, brief knowledge of what a conservatorship is and does, still no. Because even if she wasn't the brightest or the most organized, or you know, she said she was probably taking more Adderall than she should have, maybe right. she was drinking even. There are plenty of people who are bad, nasty people in this world who are drug addicted, who commit crimes, who are not in a conservatorship, and that's never even come up. To have someone take complete control of your life and your finances, like, you need to be not here with us. Yeah. And I don't think that that was ever the case. Where I think regardless of how quote unquote crazy or off the rails she was, she deserved freedom in her own life. And a conservatorship was not warranted for her whatsoever.
And she kept saying, how could I be so helpless that I need a conservatorship and yet I can perform on this grueling tour every single night for 2 years? It didn't make sense.
She performed for them for like 10 years in Vegas every single night, like never missing a show, never missing a step, like just being robotic for them. She is obviously well enough to handle her own affairs, even if they're not being handled the way that you think that they should be.
Was her performance, were her performances legit? Like, was she?
So we saw her on the circus tour. Do you remember this, Snitch? And yeah. It was really bad.
Really?
Yeah. It was really bad.
And we were really young, too. Maybe I was in high school, not to the point where, like, now it's like I know things. But then I was just like, we were watching this and she was giving nothing. It was my first time seeing someone lip sync, and it was so scandalous. Like, it was nothing of the sort. And then I would always look back on that when people would talk about Britney later on. I'm like, and I didn't know she was in a conservator. I didn't know what these things meant. I just felt like. And I feel like she addressed it when she said the fans deserved more, because that we saw was not a quality show.
No. And she said that she was holding back as a way, like it was like the only way that she could rebel.
Yeah. Right. Which makes sense. She should have gone on stage and been like, help me. I'm being held in. You know what I mean? But then as a fan, you're like, what? I came to see Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when she like wouldn't flip her hair, she was like, it was like a form of resistance. But I was like,
right. And really? And she recognizes now that like she was punishing her fans. But now reading the book, I'm like, yeah, you should have done a bad job so that they would make you stop. But then what I saw was a bad job.
Right.
There was no winning. There was no winning.
In the conservatorship already during Circus Tour?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Because remember during Vegas, that was Circus. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And there was a tour called the Onyx Hotel Tour.
Wait. I was so confused. What was that?
Did she perform at Onyx Hotels or what is that?
No, I don't know.
I was either.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Why did the Free Britney movement mean so much to Britney?
Because it was freeing her from the conservatorship.
No, but she hadn't spoken out yet. Like all these fans were just putting the pieces together of like, Britney hasn't been around for a while. Where's Britney? And the fact that like a mass of fans could figure out something and fight for you and you were so indisposed. Like, I understand why she is so indebted and grateful for those people.
Oh my God, of course. Because by the way, if that hadn't had happened, I don't know that she would have gotten out of her conservatorship.
Yeah. Yeah, the grassroots effort to free Britney.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it really is amazing when you think about it and see it from her perspective. It's like she couldn't say anything, but like her fans sensed that she was not okay. And they helped her, one, get out of it by swaying public opinion, but also give her the courage that she needed to do the steps on her end to get out of it.
Okay, so at this point, how do we know about the conservatorship at all? Was that a public part of like our understanding of Britney?
Yes, but I think when she went into that facility and she wasn't seen for 3 months, people were like, where's Britney? Free Britney.
Help Britney.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Just saying. Next, discuss Britney's life post-conservatorship and what freedom means for her.
I also want to add that, like, now it seems in hindsight so clear that she was in a conservatorship, but Lifetime, it was never a sure thing. Like, there were so many schools of thought of, like, this isn't real. Britney's not in.
Yeah, he's just managing her finances. Yeah. It's just, you know, he's her, like.
You guys remember, yeah, I was guilty of that. Post a green snake if you're not okay or something.
Yes, and I, like, was guilty to be like, she's fine. Everyone's losing their minds. Britney's not held against her will in this league. And we were wrong. Like, the fans were right, and the grassroots movement saved her.
Yeah. No, it was one of, like, the few moments where really, like, social media activism.
Yes. And people's speculation was for the better good and not damaging. Yes.
Yeah. What does freedom mean to Britney? I think it's the freedom to make mistakes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
And she said, she's like, I would have messed up, but I would have turned out fine. Like, I would have been a robot.
Just like everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, and just like all the male rockers that she cited who get to blow all their money, go, you know, commit crimes, go to prison, do this, do that. They don't go into a conservatorship.
Correct.
Did your perception of Britney change after reading this book?
As we were saying, I did think it was too surface and I was left feeling so frustrated and wanting more of every tidbit we spoke about, but I certainly am more informed than I was pre-book because I really didn't know anything.
Yes, it makes me want to like handle her even more delicately when I speak about her. Yeah. I think that she's a good-natured person who's been taken advantage of and just deserves to live her life however she sees fit. And for her, that means like going to Hawaii and driving her car and listening to music in her house and dancing and posting it on Instagram.
I mostly understand, like I really sympathize and empathize with what she went through with her children. Like that was so heartbreaking as a reader, and I really, really was like, my eyes were open to the hardship, especially when it came to her custody battles. So I thought, if nothing else, like that was so enlightening to like the trauma that she's been through.
Yes, agreed. What do you wish for Brittany's future?
I wish for happiness for her and peace.
Yeah, like the comeback of the century.
Oh, no. I hope for no music, if you know, aside from maybe like even like a recording session in her house, maybe stripped down versions of her old hits. She can finally like remaster the oldies. I
love like that. What Miley did in her backyard sessions.
Yeah, I hope for love with a partner. She just got divorced from Sam. Did? Yeah, she was talking about him in the book, but they're no longer together. I hope for like a stable relationship for her, and I hope that she can be reunited with her children and that they can have a family relationship.
Same.
Also worth noting that literally this weekend Brittany posted on Instagram with her mother, like she and her mother are bonding once again. But now I'm mad about it. If I hadn't read this book, I'd be like, good, Brittany needs her mother. Now I'm mad. Where Jackie, was her mother?
Same. I was like, why are you reuniting with her?
Yeah.
But I like throughout the book, there were so many times that her family betrayed her, but she always like went back to them because she cared so deeply what they thought of her and she didn't see another way. But then there turned to be like one time where it was like, I'm done for good.
Yep.
But she said that so many times, like, I don't think she can ever be done for good because that's just like not in her DNA.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Great. Now it's time for the redhead questions. We got so many questions from redheads readers, so I'm going to try to get to like some of them, but we are talking about most of the things. First, do you feel like Brittany downplayed her mental health issues in the book? At times, it felt hard to feel like she was a reliable narrator of her own story because of how little she seemed to admit of the struggles she faced.
I don't think she downplayed her mental health issues. She didn't speak specifically on each one, but what I thought she downplayed, as we spoke about, was her fame and success. I wish she had more ownership of how famous she really is.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that even when she was in the conservatorship, I mean, obviously taking it with a grain of salt, but she said that she had to do like these hours and hours of therapy. And it's like, what were her therapists saying to her? Like, you know, like what issues, quote unquote, did they think she had? Like what was happening in there? Like, she spent so much time in it that I would have liked to hear a little bit more on that piece.
Yeah, I guess if she does have mental health diagnoses, like, and this is her memoir and we're talking about why, her reasons for doing things, like, that would have been the time to share. Instead, right. Like, you know, she talks about when she was pregnant, she was really mean. Or she talks about how she's, like, not the smartest, but not manipulative. And on the one hand, it's like she doesn't owe it to us to give her
medical records.
But on the other hand, like, this is a memoir.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think other things were downplayed too. Like, I could imagine a world in which, and this is just an example, and I'm not saying this is the case, but like she said that at one point, the only thing she ever really took a lot of was Adderall. So if she is someone who had an Adderall addiction, and then it is found that she's taking energy supplements, which she can get over the counter, and maybe not saying this is what she was doing, but saying like, if you're someone who had a former Adderall addiction, you can't get your hands on them anymore, you might start abusing energy supplements. Like, that's the sort of thing where it's like, maybe she wasn't recounting that 100% truthfully. Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, if you put those two things together, like, it paints a little bit of a different picture.
Also, like, going to AA 5 days a week, if you had no problem with alcohol, like, that confused me a tiny bit.
But she loved it. She's like, these women are so strong. I feel like that was her only...
Well, she found solace. Yeah. Like, she found a silver lining. Right. But, like, she was the only one who had to go to the same 4 meetings a week. Everyone else got to choose their different times. Like,
she didn't take something away from it. But, like, you were going to AA 4 days a week. Like, maybe there was more to the story there. But, again, like, I don't want to assume anything.
I really thought one of the, like, the storylines was going to be that, like, a lady from AA, like, helped her and, like, saved her. Because, like,
well, nurse showed her the Google search.
Yeah, like, one no, of but, those. Like, I thought maybe, like, she would, like, talk about what she was going through. And obviously, I'm sure everyone there knew she was, like, Britney Spears. Like, I really thought that was going to be a saving grace.
Yeah.
But alas, I was wrong.
Yeah. Next question. Who was number one on your Protect Britney and All Costs hit list after reading this book?
Her dad.
Her dad.
For sure.
Her dad, her mom.
No, her dad. And who the fuck's Robin?
Oh, yeah, some wench. Yeah. How do you stack this celebrity memoir against others you've read? So, for me, that's like
Jessica Simpson,
Paris Hilton, Jeanette McCurdy, I didn't read. Matthew Perry, I didn't read. Holly Madison.
This is the only one I've read.
Oh, what'd you think? Do you like the genre?
I really don't think that this is one I should base off of.
You should read Jessica Simpson, Snitch. Like, I was hoping that this book would do for me what Jessica Simpson's did, because to me, that's like the gold standard of celebrity memoirs for misunderstood women and unfairly treated women.
Mm.
And it did not, but I enjoyed it, and it was something.
I've only ever read Guess Amy Schumer's.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, Britney gave Amy a shout out in this memoir of female comedians that got her through. So, real knows real.
Would you recommend Amy Schumer's?
It's so outdated at this point. No, because like so much has happened since then. It would be kind of pointless. But yeah, I loved it. It was funny. I was cracking up. I want her to write a new one so that I can recommend that.
I read Tina Fey's, which was not similar to this at all. Really good, though. And I just read Julia Fox's, which was, like, similarly chaotic. Mm. I think she wrote it herself, which you could tell. And just so different. Like, I really think everyone's stories vary so much. But I could see, like, Jessica Simpson's and Britney's being sort of similar. And Jessica's being just really, really much higher caliber in some ways.
It was unreal.
I started it. I don't think I finished it.
Oh, my God. How? Also, Paris Hilton's was really good, too.
Yeah, I would read that. I want to read Matthew Perry's also.
Claudia loved it.
Yeah, I want to read that.
Next question. Thoughts on what Justin Timberlake thinks of this book and if he should make a statement? I think the most unflattering thing about Justin Timberlake from this book, of course, that he cheated, but was the abortion.
Yes.
And that he was very firm in this was the decision, mm-hmm. even though it was not the decision that maybe Britney would have chosen if she had more space to choose for herself.
And the breakup via text.
Justin did apologize publicly after the New York Times documentary framing Britney Spears, but I don't think he said anything after this memoir, and I think everyone could always benefit from an apology.
Yeah, but also, what did he apologize for? Because, like, also, how many times does he need to apologize publicly?
I think it was just, like, the wardrobe malfunction. And
yeah.
What's interesting, though, is Britney did not like those documentaries, when I actually thought, from my, you know, consumer perspective, when they came out, that they were helping her, but they made her mad.
Should we watch those? Yeah. Are they good?
I don't remember if I watched them or just, like, framing Britney Spears, like, I felt like did so much to change the narrative and move the needle. But she doesn't look at it that way. She's just like, why, my friend should have told me if they were going to do a documentary, which I agree with that. But, like, that there wasn't, like, this overarching, but I was grateful for it.
Yeah.
Like, was interesting.
Yeah.
But I'd have to watch it to see why. I'm sure she has her reasons. Next question. I've never had any desire to read Lynn or Jamie Lynn's books. However, after reading this, I'm a little more inclined to see things from the other point of view. Some of what has happened to Britney seems so outrageous. I'm curious to see how it was justified. Any of you feel the same?
Yes, but not enough to read it. But if someone would like to give me a spark notes, I would read that.
Well, I do want to hear things from the other side, but not from her mom or sister, because I'm so angry with them, their mistreatment of Britney, and I think it's insane that they even wrote a book about her when she was struggling so intensely. So, like, please, someone round out our perspective of this Britney situation, but not from the people that are just monetizing off of her.
I'd read a book by Felicia.
I agree. And, like, the idea of reading, like, Jamie Lynn's book that's, like, Jamie Lynn-centric about, like, living in Britney's shadow. Like, no.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. It was so crazy when the Free Britney movement, like, was happening and finally happened. Then, like, Jamie Lynn wrote a book.
Totally. Yep.
And at first she tried to call it something, one of Britney's lyrics.
Like, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman or something.
Something, let me find what it was, and the internet dragged her and she changed it.
One of my wedding gifts was the New York Times front page on the same date of my wedding, and it was when Britney got freed. So, like, in my bathroom eternally is just this free Britney New York Times.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. The working title was I Must Confess.
Oh, right. That's a great title.
Great title. Britney actually should have taken that title.
Yes.
But maybe they already trademarked it, but that's so crazy. And then she changed it to Things I Should Have Said. I just want to let you know, if you're starting your title with things, it's weak. Totally. Things We Left Behind. What's your other book, Snitch?
My top two best overall have the things in them.
That is Things We Hide From the Light. Okay, well, those are the redheads' questions. What is the moral of the story?
Surround yourself with good people.
I said, even at your lowest, there is a way out.
I said, believe women.
I say, don't judge someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes.
Preach.
Next, Hollywood treatment. If there is a biopic about Britney's life, which I feel like they're always trying to do on Lifetime and they've done a number of times, but if this book would to be turned into a Britney sanctioned movie, who should play Britney and why is it Addison Rae?
Oh, or Tate McRae.
Okay.
But if for older Britney, there's only one person.
Britney.
No, Britney S. Pierce, Heather Morris.
Oh, that's funny. You have to be a Glee fan to know that.
Yeah. Oh, I understand now.
Addison Rae.
I'm aligned. I like all of these choices.
Dana?
Lindsay Lohan. By the way, I thought it was hysterical when Britney, this was like one of her real candid moments. She's like, do you think I give a shit, Kevin Federline, that you're at a party with Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Like, you are so uncool. I've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah. So true. Yeah, I just wish I knew, like, which moments were so Britney on the couch and which were so ghostwriter.
Yeah, me too.
Like, is that, that feels like Britney on the couch.
Totally.
Yeah. When she was like, guys, that picture of me, Lindsay Lohan, and Paris Hilton in the car that you were all freaking out about for years, like, we had 5 drinks and went home.
No, she was like, you want to know what we did? We got drunk.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton also wrote about that night in her book, and she was like, it's so funny how that's people's now, like, you know when you buy a
party girl,
a thing for your car, that's for your car windshield for the sun, and some people have like it's a picture of the three of them, so it looks like they're in the car.
Oh, that's funny.
It's funny. She was like, it's just so funny how it became such a big thing.
Yeah.
Now it is time for our overall redheads rating of this memoir. Now, this is going to be really hard because I don't put nonfiction in with fiction in a redheads rankings. So I personally have a different scale for rating memoirs, and I'm very much more generous. This is someone's story. It's not for me to judge. I'm only judging the style and what I took away from it. Dana, what's your rating?
3.6.
Do you find that you write memoirs differently?
No.
Wow. So this is a high rating for you.
I feel like it's average.
Okay. Becky?
3.
Snitch?
3.
Me, based on my aforementioned generous rating scale for memoirs, 4. The overall rating is a 3.4.
That feels right.
That does feel right.
It does feel kind of right. You know what? I will put it with our other books, and that would make it number 33 after In 5 Years and before Big Swiss.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now it is time for our best books of the year, redheads and non-redheads. This is really where my math needs to start mathing because it's very hard to keep apart. So let's do our top 3 redheads books of the year.
Okay.
What is everyone's number 3 redheads books of the year?
Like lowest.
Lowest book of the year. No, not lowest book of the year. No. Number three.
Yeah. Mine.
Marjorie Post.
Margo says Marjorie Post. Hold on. Marjorie Post. I need to do my math. This is really hard. Rebecca.
I Could Live Here Forever.
Dana.
The It Girl.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that book.
Jackie number three book, The It Girl.
Wait, can that be mine? I'm sorry. Sure. I thought that was last year.
You guys,
year.
What? Is that was the good. One where she's like in college?
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, it was good.
Give me a college campus and I'm going to like it.
It's so funny that we all chose that.
Yeah.
Okay, what's so great? Okay, I'll explain this later. What's your number two book, Margo?
The Measure.
Rebecca.
Big Swiss. Also, like The Measure, gross.
Oh my God. What?
Big Swiss, gross.
Dana.
The Big Swiss?
Hey. No.
Mine was Fourth Wing.
Okay. Love. That's number one, obviously.
What's your number one book, Snitch?
Fourth Wing.
Fourth Wing.
Dana?
Camper and the Counselor.
No, that's not. Dana.
I'm kidding.
Oh my God. I was like, you just ruined the whole thing. I'm working so hard.
My number one is I Could Live Here Forever.
Okay.
Okay.
And my number one is The Measure.
What, Jackie?
Wait, I can't believe you didn't like that.
But what's really confusing, and I don't know how to deal with this, but I have two of these books on my top three overall, and they're inverted. It's like I liked one better for the redheads, and I liked one better for my personal life. Is that weird?
No. Do you?
I didn't choose. I would have chose I Could Live Here Forever for my non-reds, but I didn't want to.
Same. I didn't conflate lists.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I kept them separate.
With my overall, oh, just because The Fourth Wing is the best book I read this year.
I have my list conflated. I feel like I didn't read enough this year to read enough good books anyway.
Yeah, no, I was like completely keeping them separate.
Me too.
I think that okay. was sort of like an important distinction that we should clarify.
Okay, I'll keep mine separate then. That actually makes things like simpler for me.
I won't keep mine separate because okay, the best overall book that I read was The Fourth Wing. Is that the only overlap? Yeah.
Okay, I think that's
okay. Do you guys want to know what was the number one Redheads book of the year?
Yeah.
Yes, drum roll.
Number one Redheads book of the year, editor's pick, is Fourth Wing.
Woo. Oh.
Hey,
number two book is The Measure.
Okay.
Boo.
Number three book is I Could Live Here Forever.
Yay! Woo!
Yay. That
so
feels
don't
right.
I resonate with that book, but fine.
But wait, do you guys want to know what the number one book is, one, two, and three, based on our rankings when we did the episode?
Yes. Yes.
Number one book of the year, Fourth Wing.
Okay. Bleh.
Number two, I Could Live Here Forever.
Woo!
Number three, The It Girl.
Okay, oh, weird. Track. Weird.
Yeah, and then four would be The Measure.
Boom.
So that's just some interesting factoids.
I Could Live Here Forever is like my number one book of the whole year.
I just is that the one with the drug addict?
Yes. Okay, now it's time for our top three non-redheads books of the year. The person who goes, do three, two, and one all together, because I don't need to be doing my math. Snitch, you want to go first?
Best overall, number one, is obviously Fourth Wing. Second is The Things We Leave Unfinished. And the third is The Things We Cannot Say.
A lot of things.
A lot of things.
Okay.
So are we doing one, two, or three now?
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
You were supposed to do three, two, one.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
I just meant do all three at the same time.
That's what I thought.
We're not going like in a circle.
Okay, cool.
Becky.
My third favorite non-redhead book of the year, Down the Drain by Julia Fox. My second is Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. And my number one non-redhead book is Hello Beautiful by Anne Napolitano.
Wow. Them's big words.
That was a
close one for me. Dana, what's yours?
Number three, The Guest by Emma Klein. Mm-hmm. Number two, Tom Lake by Ann Patchett. Number three, Sam by Allegra Goodman.
I don't know that one.
So
we're
good.
All so different. I think we have like 12 different books for our top one, two, three. My number one book of the year was Demon Copperhead.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was a close fourth for me.
Number two is The Social Climber by Amanda Pellegrino. And number three is The Housemaid by Freida McFadden.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
It was good, and it kicked me off on, like, a great thriller Freida McFadden kick. So, great. Okay.
Well done.
There we go. I'll have all of these into neat social cards for the Redheads Instagram, so if you missed anything, I'll put it there. And now it is time for the other books that we read this month. Snitch, do you read anything?
I actually didn't. I've honestly been so off my game.
Becky, you read anything?
I read The Idea of You by Robin Lee.
Did you like it?
I did not like it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. And then I read Down the Drain by Julia Fox.
Nice.
And what did you rate? I really liked that. Sorry. I wanted to emphasize. Loved it. But I am a Julia Fox apologizer?
Apologist.
Obsessed with her. She can do no wrong in my eyes. And so I thought it was like juicy and epic. And she's an icon.
Amazing. Well, I'll go next because I only read two books. I finished The Burnout by Sophie Kinsella, who's my favorite author. So I read everything that she writes because she wrote Confessions of a Shopaholic. So I just have to support everything that she does. But I did not like this book and I gave it 2 stars and I didn't like it. And I read something really similar last year. Then I read Iron Flame.
Oh, I read Iron Flame.
Right. And Snitch and I are going to try and do a bonus episode all about Iron Flame. Yeah. Get into it. Redhead style. So I'll just say I gave it a 3. It was no Fourth Wing. I'm glad that I finished it. I don't know how glad I am that I read it.
Wow.
But you're going to read the next one, so it's good that you
I actually
one.
Said I'm probably not going to read the next one. No, I think
gonna read
this
it.
Is where I leave
you're,
you.
You're going to read it.
Well, I'm it. Like saving it for a rainy day because I'm like so excited to read it.
Okay.
No, yeah, just, right, you have to read it. Just okay. Like, what are you waiting for?
Measure your excitement.
Okay.
Dana, what'd you read?
I read Black Cake by Charmaine Wilkerson. I gave it a 3. It's now a Hulu series. I did not love it. It wasn't really for me, but I would recommend it. Then I read Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld. Absolutely loved
it. Oh, someone almost picked that for the book club.
Oh, really?
Or was it me?
I wish you did. It was so good. You guys should read it. It's just like witty and amazing and well written. I gave it a 4.5. And then I read Early Morning Riser by Katherine Heine, which I also loved, gave it a 4.3. I read 2 really good books this round. One
wow.
Okay book.
Love.
Great. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Now, before I let you ladies go, Snitch, what will we be reading next month? As it is Snitch's Choice, our first book of the year. You always come in strong in the new year. What's it going to be?
Okay, we will be reading Strange Sally Diamond by Liz Nugent. Honestly, I had the hardest time trying to find a book that was like snitchy. And then I obviously just went to Halfreads and tried to find something that sounded interesting. I'm a little afraid that this is going to be kind of like nothing to see here, but I'm hoping that it's not. Regardless, I think it'll be a lively discussion and hopefully a really good book, because if I kick off the new year with a terrible book, then you guys can just kick me out.
Okay, well, we are so excited to read that to kick off the new year with the Redheads. We probably will have a bonus episode this month of Snitch and I recapping Iron Flame, so stay tuned for that. We love you guys so much. Thank you for another incredible year of Redheads readings. We read good books this year. I feel
we
like
really
we
really did. We had a strong year.
I feel like we read like 10 out of the 11 books were really good books.
Yeah, the only bad one was Dead Romantics.
Yeah, the Dead Romantics was my number one across the board. I forgot to say. Please read.
Did you
my
have
lists.
A hard? Did you have a hard time like not being able to include it on your overall?
1,000%. It's like all I eat, sleep, and dream about.
I do want to say we didn't reference it, but we all kind of love True Biz. Just a little. Shout
I was
out.
Saying
did.
The same thing.
Yeah.
I feel like True Biz could have made my top three, and it
was
just,
like a close third for me.
100%. Me too. Like,
I agree.
Maybe honorable mention, True Biz.
Honorable yes. mention, True Biz. But wait, who had the number one book of the year?
I did.
Snitch.
Snitch did. And then Rebecca, you had number two, even though you don't claim The Measure.
Ugh.
The Measure yeah, and I don't know each other.
Yours. But it's yours, technically.
I mean, like, I'm glad that it's mine. Like, one can choose a book and hate it.
By the way, not that it's a competition, but I think most years the number one pick is me.
It wow. kind of is, but also a lot of years the number 12 book is you.
Yeah, it doesn't. By the way, so.
Get you a girl who can do both.
Yep.
Number one is all that matters.
No, I mean, why would we have a number one book when really all we care about is our country friends?
All we care about is Dead Romantic Specs. Okay, I love you guys. Everyone has to go. My busy, busy swirlies. Love you guys so much. We'll see you next year. Thank you for being Redheads. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.